It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Eagles outside linebacker Connor Barwin joins us.
I heard you guys are the best Eagles podcast there is out there in Philly, so I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Oh, what's going on? Green Nation. Hey, we're live. This is exciting. We haven't been live in a while. Still waiting on Sean Brace. He's supposed to be joining me, but he is not here right now, but it doesn't matter anyway. It is BGN Radio episode number 145. We're going to be talking about the Super Bowl, prop bets. Some Eagles news as it seems like, as I was just talking about Twitter, it seems like this Johnny Manziel thing has kind of taken a life of its own. It's more of a story than the Super Bowl has given us here, but welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us. And, of course, I got to give a shout-out to 31 Apparel. It's 31apparel.com. They sent us some T-shirts. More than likely, and this is what's been brewing for a couple of days now. What's going on, Maddie? As you can join us in the Mixler chat room. If you're out there, if you're on the replay, I apologize. But I tell you this. The 31 Apparel guys have really awesome NFL T-shirts, and they're not like normal ones. It's kind of like a little bit of a twist. So they've got this awesome like Liberty Bell with an eagle flying over. Very cool. Go check them out. And it leads me to the fact that I think we're going to be doing a draft party with these guys, and they're going to be making T-shirts for the draft party. So we'll let you know what's going on with that soon. We have a couple of venues in place for an NFL draft party. So once we get done with the exciting Super Bowl, we'll keep you updated on that. But, let's get into it. Obviously, the two biggest things that we haven't talked about this entire week, Vinny Curry gets extended. And I know that seems like it's been forever ago, but here he is. He's finally here. I think Patrick, myself, Ben, a lot of people had suspected Vinny Curry is probably going to be the next guy that wasn't named Lane Johnson. $9 million a year on the cap? Yeah, I think that's about right. I said it at the time. I still think it is. I think you're going to get market value for a guy that was going to go out and be a pass rusher in a 4-3. So I don't really see an issue with that at all. I think that's, the guaranteed money. Every single one of these contracts has been fine so far. And that's where really I don't understand a lot of people freaking out about it. I mean, we're going to go through the same things every time, with whoever's going to get signed next. Whether that's Fletcher Cox, and I saw some people just kind of freaking out about the reported $10 million for $60 million guaranteed. You have to pay these guys. And this isn't something that it's where, I don't want to get into the stream of like, oh, these are really good signings. I don't know if they're great signings. I think they're just necessary. You have to do these things. And on top of the fact, they're Howie's guys. Howie drafted all these guys, so it's a pretty much no-brainer that those things are going to happen. That's what I keep asking myself. Would you pay Reggie White? Of course you're going to pay Reggie White. And don't worry about it. Matt Daring forever has said that NFL contracts are toilet paper, and we get ourselves way into a tizzy about all of these different, how are they going to fit all these guys in here? If they really want Bradford, which they don't, it's pretty obvious now that we can, I think, get to that point where you're looking at Doug Peterson's comments. He had an interview with Derek Gunn, very much talking up the fact that wants to get in there and draft a young quarterback and develop him. Maybe there's a guy on this roster that can just, you know, be there until that guy's ready. And a lot of people assumed, oh, he's probably talking about Sam Bradford, but I honestly think he's probably talking about Mark Sanchez there. You know, I think the writing's on the wall with everything. I think everybody's tone has changed on that. But even if they do want Sam Bradford, there's room for him. You know, there's room for basically everybody that that they want on here. So I wouldn't get too wrapped up in that. Plus, you need that stuff here. I think Jason Peters taking a pay cut's not going to happen. You know, that's he's going to be here for the $9 million. If he goes less, that's great. That works out. But you're still going to need his services for the next year. And the big story that kind of came out just yesterday in back and forth was the Ian Rappaport had been reporting that the Eagles and DeMarco Murray are going to come to a head on this thing, which I thought was kind of surprising. Obviously, I think we all know that Chip Kelly's 100% responsible for that in the contract. But and this is something that I still don't understand is where, you know, there's listen, you're going to take that $13 million cap hit this year if you cut him. So it's very unlikely that they're going to cut him. But I just, even if they do, like, what are you really missing out on there? Sure, there's $5 million that you could, you know, put in between somewhere, I guess, for depth. I mean, you're talking about $2.5 million. That's very much non-starter money or a starter at that point. And it's been explained to me, at least, that maybe I don't understand this, but if you cut him now and take that $13 million cap hit this year, that doesn't roll over into 2017. So maybe I have that wrong. Unless it's the same kind of cut that you're going to have that same time, if it only saves you that $3 million or $4 million or whatever, then I understand it. Then there's really no point in doing it. You might as well have him on the field. But if he's a big pain in the ass and, like, you know, simultaneously he's on ESPN saying, I want to be here long term. I want to be an Eagle. You hear Doug Peterson, who's like, yeah, I've talked to Doug about running, you know, north and south, which is what the whole narrative was last year. You know, I want to run more Dallas plays, I think is what he said, too. I would get you more involved. Run more of that inside-outside zone underneath the center, which everybody's been begging for. This entire offseason, to me, again, just boils up to, let's just do the opposite of what we were doing. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. And that's why this whole thing, I'm still pretty neutral. I'm still pretty neutral on everything that's happened so far. It's very hard to judge what it's going to be like next year in February. Without even a free agency period, without a draft period. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going to happen there. I doubt that they're going to do anything with him. I just think that means that he's definitely not going to be here next year. You know, I think that's a foregone conclusion no matter who would be in here. The same with, again, how the people have been signed. You know, you're not going to see Lane Johnson walk. You're not going to see Fletcher Cox walk. These are all simple things. I think to an extent last year we said the same thing about Michael Kendricks. You know, there's a lot of different trade rumors and different packages that he would be in, but, you know, he's here. I think how he had, if you look back at that even too, I think that there was, even last year, that might even be a Howie call. You know, if they had as much control, or, you know, if they were thinking about it long term and there was stuff going on, I'm pretty sure that Michael Kendricks was still somewhat had Howie's fingerprints on it. That's a guy he drafted. It's the same guys that he wants to be able to, you know, set in the ground and say, these are my guys and we're going to move forward. And about that, I know we've also talked largely about the front office this week. And look, we don't know. It's not great. It's in my eyes. This is not, it's still the same setup. You're still dealing with the same problems. The only problem I had this week was that Tom Donahoe, or whoever had been speaking, I guess, you know, for the first part of the week here, was saying that, yeah, he's going to be more hands-on with the personnel because he's been around the college and the pro scouting departments. And that to me, I don't know why anybody didn't raise the question of just like, wait, time out. Like, everybody knows he's not around NovaCare, right? You know, he might be Skyping in and doing all those things. And the second part of this, and I know Brandon's been really huge on it, is the fact that, you know, Howie still hasn't been good enough of a GM. And plus, he's been out of the scouting department for a year. So this kind of lines up to, well, I don't know what's going to happen in the draft. And it's kind of scary. You know, I feel free to freak out on this because there hasn't been any great signs of this being a great plan leading up to this. Obviously, people are going to tell you, yeah, there's not going to be any you know, the guys that they're going to bring in have to get fired first. So that's fine and all, but, you know, I have a serious problem of putting all the eggs in the basket. And after hearing Phil Savage talk last week on the Fanatic to Jeff Mosier and Eitan Shander about, like, yeah, he needs a strong personnel guy. I don't know if Tom Donahoe is that strong of a guy. I mean, he's more of a name at this point than anything else. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not exactly the best situation that anybody's going to be in here moving forward. So that's why I really don't care about the extensions part. So I want to go back to that, because there's you have to keep those guys here. That's part of your core, and you have to build on that. So you're banking on that Howie Roseman is going to be able to pick those guys at 13. And look, they're going to pick a franchise quarterback. Howie Roseman is yet to do that. So, again, this kind of leads all to a head where Sam Bradford's probably not going to be back. You're going to have Mark Sanchez, Chase Daniel, or some random free agent be your QB. And my guess is that they're all horns up at pick 13 for a QB, which is interesting, because I want to go to the phones, because we've had a couple of interesting phone calls this week about the running game situation, and obviously about DeMarco Murray. And first up is actually, I want to check in with our good friend Stephen Lee. Down in, where is he at? West Palm Beach, Florida, because he had a kind of interesting take on this as well, as we'll get to Stephen Lee.
What's up, BGN? This is Stephen Lee just checking in from West Palm Beach, Florida, during this slow off season. But every now and then you get a narrative that's kind of interesting, and today, obviously, was all about DeMarco Murray. So I'm calling in just to kind of gauge your guys' thoughts on the whole Murray situation. You know, I don't see how it's possible to cut him, especially with $13 million in just dead money. But there was a lot of conflicting reports today. You know, one that he's, according to Rappaport, that he's, you know, poised for a stare down with the Eagles this offseason. Then he's on ESPN simultaneously saying he wants to be back, and it appeared to be genuine, but who really knows? I thought Jimmy Kemsky brought up a great point in the Eagles kind of sneakily maybe needing a running back going forward. So, how do you see this kind of unfolding during the offseason? Do you see the Eagles maybe reaching for someone like a Kenneth Dixon, who I do think is going to be a good running back? Or, you know, do we extend Matthews? I mean, what's the deal with running back? What are your guys' thoughts on the whole thing? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, we appreciate the call, Stephen Lee, every time, man. It's kind of interesting there, too, because I would almost, and this has been heavily debated in the BGN radio text thread, and that's why I think Stephen's point's important here. Look, Ezekiel Elliott is probably going to be a late first rounder, I would assume. I get scared because it's Big Ten running backs, and I always get, you know, my butt clenches up when that happens. But I would be open to it at 13. That's what I'm saying. Like, there are so many better players at their positions than a lot of these guys are at quarterback. And I know we've had this discussion before, but Ezekiel Elliott and the running back position is going to be a sneaky need here if DeMarco Murray and this thing kind of come. Look, there's Sproles, there's Matthews, and there's Murray. They're not getting younger. You know, Sproles is probably done after this season. Ryan Matthews, you could never rely on ever since he's been here. And really, his entire career, for being honest, in San Diego. But there's, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's that look ahead there. I even said that last year when it was kind of crazy that you spent all this money, or you spent whatever it was, $13 million on running backs, but it was one of the most predominant running back classes that I think we've seen in a long time. I don't think it's as strong this year, but there are still some guys there, some young guys that you could put in, which kind of like makes the Murray signing all that much more baffling when you look at it in retrospect, and even in it. I know we were all yelling and screaming about that. If you had Duke Johnson in here, if you had, you know, some of those, even the later round guys, your John Crockett's or whatever, at least somebody that's in there. Obviously, Kenyon Barner's here and, you know, had shown some flashes towards the end of the year when DeMarco Murray was sitting. But, yeah, I would say running back is kind of a small, sneaky need at this point. And an elusive second round pick, again, I think is going to make people kind of panic into doing some of those stupid things. Like, maybe that is trading back. Maybe that is, you know, taking a running back early as 13. I don't know. I think it would be crazy without establishing who your offensive lineman is first. But that all could change, too, in just kind of the scheme that they do. But I it's pretty obvious to me, and that's what we realized last year. As much as we talk about the Gardy McBeefs in this draft, you know, and as much as Matt Daring and those guys will make fun of it, it's true. Like, you cannot go to that different type of downhill running scheme with those guys in there. It just won't work. We've seen that already. And that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, Brent Celek is here, because they're not going to sure. They're not so sure how that class is going to kind of fall into, not along with, you know, free agency and a bunch of other things here. But you can't, there is that there's no Mahler to do those things. You know, as much as we make fun of the Dallas offensive line, they have a couple of Maulers on there, at least in the running game. Pass protecting, they kind of like, you know, they're losing their shirts and taking dumps in their pants. But as far as the running game's concerned, at least there's that momentum moving forward. And look, you can't do that with those guys. That's why those awful jet sweeps came. That's why you had guards pulling more times than not. That's why you had Jason Kelce kind of losing his lunch against, you know, for the first half of the season. Got better as it went on, but yeah, I would think running back, and again, as much as we love Vinnie Curry, and as much as we're going to love Brandon Graham at a wide nine, I think you can fit a lot of different guys in there, and they'll be successful. Running back and defensive line, defensive end, really, are two pretty big needs that no one's paying attention to. You're always going to have holes somewhere. Every single year, I think we always have the same discussion of like, well, you absolutely need a safety, you know, drink. You absolutely need more offensive line depth. You absolutely need linebackers. You absolutely need this or that or this or that. This is a perfect draft to establish getting good players. And I know that's so freaking non-analysis. But again, like at 13, if Ezekiel Elliott's there and most of those big-time wide receiver names are gone, if most of those offensive linemen are gone, which they're more than likely they will be, I don't know where Whitechair and all those guys are going to end up falling. It's going to come really down to where, a lot of the combine, where they're going to move forward here. So, but if Ezekiel Elliott's there, I'm kind of buying into that. I'm a little reluctant still. Like, I would never trade up for a running back. I don't think that's ever a good thing either. I don't know. I'm curious. Let us know at @BGN_radio, at John Barchard. I'm curious if you think that taking a running back in the first round would make a lot of people scream and yell, basically. I don't know. So it is possible that it is a bigger need than people are thinking, especially if this is coming to a head here. But want to switch gears for just a little bit. I know we had another phone call. Interesting enough, I think this is actually a bonus, is where we're going to have a Sixers question. Well, we'll take it all. It's Super Bowl weekend, so go ahead.
Yeah, I got a two-part question. One about the Eagles and another one about the Sixers. First off, about the Eagles, how good do you think the running game could be next year in the upcoming season? And about the Sixers, if we get Ben Simmons in the first pick, would you trade Okafor to go after Chris Dunn so we have a legit point guard?
About that.
Well, just let me know what you think.
All right, well, first of all, I mean, that was how good is the running game going to be? And again, I think that's
question.
Plays over my road more time. I apologize. I think there is no way of knowing what the running game is going to be like until after the draft, because that's a really hard question to answer. But I will sneak in the Sixers thing. Okafor is not going to get traded for Chris Dunn, especially Chris Dunn. Yes, I would do it in a heartbeat, but I don't think Okafor is going to be traded for nearly any of that. With the problem with the Sixers and really the NBA is there's enough decent big men, and I don't think Okafor offers enough to garnish that type of pick, because he's going to be in the top, you know, five, if not the top three. So that's kind of my take on that. But yeah, I know there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of, I don't just get the sense, and I don't know if everybody feels that too, is that just everything that's happening now is better than it was last year. And it could be. It's just, I don't feel that way. I don't feel that kind of like overwhelming, oh, this is going to be so much better. There's still a lot of humongous question marks, especially if you do not have a quarterback rolling into here. You know, we are talking ourselves into Paxton Lynch. We are talking ourselves into Goff. And again, I'm going to pound this home as many times as I can. if and you know Joel's in there is one of those people, and I think Matt is too. That's saying like, no way would I take a running back in the first round. I'm with you there. I think there are better things to do there, especially when you're because you only take those guys unless you are sure like that is going to be a bona fide Hall of Famer. And I even made fun of the Rams, you know, for drafting last year. But he would take him. Sorry, Matt is saying he would take him. I'm actually against that. Then I'm not. Unless you know that he's going to be, without a doubt, like the next Adrian Peterson, which I don't think Ezekiel Elliott is. I think he's going to be a very good running back, but I think he's a tad bit overhyped. And I know that's a lot of the due to Ohio State and all that stuff. But you really have to consider, you know, that's where I need Howie to be very confident in his evaluations and Tom Donahoe and all that. This is me projecting really, cause I don't know what they're thinking, but this would be my plan, is making sure that you land a quarterback in the third round. And then again, in the fifth plus, take one day two and take one day three, because there really isn't going to be, I would rather at this point, if you're going to move on from Bradford, I don't think this team is a contender at all. I don't think that how good the defense could be, you might be able to pull out 7-8 wins. You might be able to get, you know, a crappy playoff berth, but at the end of the day, we're still finding ourselves with the same questions and the same answers since 2013, since 2012, 10, whenever it has been. You need to find that guy that is almost a no doubter. And I know that's a very silly thing to say, but the quarterback class is stronger next year. It just is. Even if it's just Watson alone, it's worth not investing heavily into a quarterback this year. It just isn't. It isn't. You get lucky. This is the year to try and get lucky and not invest and not be so formulaic with, we need a quarterback, we need a guard, we need a this, we need a that. If you are going to find the things that are going to be overwhelmingly powerful in this draft class as far as talent, and draft those things. Because at the end of the day, a lot of those guys are going to stick in and say, this is my next franchise quarterback, this is my next, you know, lineman, and we've seen that happen before. And somehow the Eagles got lucky in 2013 and didn't take any of those awful offensive linemen at the top. They got lucky with Lane Johnson, and thank God they got a future left tackle there. They got it. So, and out of that entire first round, nothing. I mean, there's nothing there if you go back and look to it. So, I just think it is a primo example, and I know best position available doesn't really exist, but best position on your board, you know, whether that's spark scores, whether that's anything else, take them there. I tell you what, we want to focus more on the Super Bowl. It's only once a year that we get to talk about this, and hey, guess what? Nobody's been able to talk about the Eagles in a Super Bowl for whatever. What are we going on, 15 years now? I can't even do math. But regardless, this matchup is really interesting, and I think more of the outside stuff. Again, there hasn't been too much of the kind of media day stuff that's been going on here back and forth. There isn't like any huge big stories leading up to this thing. I think if it was Tom Brady and the Patriots, you'd hear a lot more things. There'd be a ton of more hype going on here. But it is kind of old guard versus new guard. And I know that it's really easy to compare, at least for me, you know, the 85 Bears that kind of came along here where I don't know if anyone caught that 30 for 30. I actually haven't seen that yet. But I think that there is a lot of swagger from the 85 Bears on this Carolina Panther team. I don't know if anybody else feels that either, but I just kind of feel at least that there. The attitude is there. Whether that's taking pictures on the sideline, whether that's, you know, just having a lot of fun out there, which is what this should be. And it was, I don't know, you know, I think a lot of people are too young to remember. And look, I'm not saying I'm an old fella or anything. I just remember, you know, the late 80s and the 90s, it was really fun. Like, you had guys, even with the illegal penalties. And I know that it's like, look, I don't want anybody throwing up a stiff arm and dancing all over the place and, like, catching a touchdown and doing the cabbage patch. But it was fun. It was a fun time. It's still a fun sport now. I'm not saying that was better than anything else, but at least Carolina has a resemblance of that. And maybe they aren't the best defense in the world, but damn, do they have some of the greatest defensive players in the game right now. And so does Denver. And I think that's why it's most intriguing that you finally have two of the best defenses going at each other. I mean, this is basically what every Philadelphia fan has ever wanted in anything. It's two guys that are going to, or two defenses that are going to be completely slobber-knockering, you know, the crap out of everybody. And I think where the advantage here is, I don't know if everybody feels this way as well. And yes, look, it would be great. I would love to see Peyton Manning kind of ride out into the sun if this is going to be his retirement year and win a Super Bowl ring. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what's really holding him back from a lot of people saying he's one of the best, if not the best quarterbacks ever to play this thing. And we can have that debate forever. And I know a lot of people are going to jump out and say, no way, Tom Brady's much better quarterback. And I'd probably say you're right. But I think we get into a recency bias again with seeing him struggle, with seeing his noodle arm this entire year for how awful that he's been this year. You know, Brock Osweiler was one of the main guys that kind of got him into this spot too and still went out there and won games. But when you have Peyton Manning, he was so dominant for so many years. And I know personally, like, I freaking hate that he owns so many Papa John's. I hate that, like, there's a lot of people that associate him with a lot of dumb, like, NFL fans out there. And I get that part of it. But just as, yeah, Peyton Manning was 14-4 this year. Nice, man, as he's dropping in. So I would love to see both sides of this thing. And I think for me, I am rooting for Carolina. I am, like, because that to me, I don't know, not maybe it's just because I think they deserve it. Maybe it's because I want to see Cam Newton freaking, you know, take some of these prop bets home and open up his Superman coat and do a bunch of dabs, and we can all bet on that in Vegas, and I think that's very exciting. But just as far as, like, a game-by-game thing, I just think, you know, if you're going to stick, I doubt you will see Norman on Emmanuel Sanders. I don't think that I think you will see that a lot into this Super Bowl. Because I don't think you're going to waste your main guy on Demaryius Thomas, who's kind of struggled up and down this year. I think when the bright lights have come on for him, and I know that's a horrible analysis, but he just hasn't had the same type of year. I think Emmanuel Sanders is way more a threat to the Carolina's defense than Demaryius Thomas, and just because I'm saying that, he's going to go down and score two touchdowns and have 120 yards or something like that and be MVP. But you know, that's kind of how I see this matchup playing out. They're going to probably take out their best weapon there. I really think that, and Vegas is saying this too, and maybe I'm just going with that. Maybe that's a bad thing. But I like the Carolina plus six. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think this is going to be a game where it really comes down to, like the first half's going to be completely boring. They're going to fill each other out. I think that happens pretty much every Super Bowl. Unless, I don't know, I would either take a very close game or Carolina absolutely blowing them out by 30 or 20 or something like that. I think that would be kind of an interesting way to kind of end the season. It'd be a horrible way for Peyton Manning, because then I would, again, just like I was saying, I would feel terrible for him, because everybody's going to say, you know, he's just not as good as Brady. He doesn't have as many rings. We can go through that dumb argument, but on the offensive side, I think, you know, I just don't like Kubiak's setup against what they have either. I think that, you know, they've kind of struggled to always kind of get that in rhythm, no matter what kind of quarterback has been in there. I think that screwed a couple of things up. And we haven't even touched on the fact that Evan Mathis could win a Super Bowl ring. So that's also conflicting. I think he's been one of the best guys, one of the best athletes, approachable, very just himself in Philadelphia in quite a long time. I know that there's going to be probably a lot of, like, rooting interest on the as far as that goes, even though his season has been kind of up and down. It hasn't been that great, but you know, I don't like I don't like that Denver offensive line against that front seven of Carolina. I just think it's going to create more and more problems. I think you're going to see a lot of short of the sticks on both sides. I think this ends up 21-17 with a Carolina 4-point victory. But with that being said, I know we don't have, like, a large segment of our Ring the Bell here, but this is kind of where the fun begins. And for the heavy gamblers, this is kind of your nut, because there's a lot of prop bets out there. So let's start with the usual. How long will it take for Lady Gaga to sing the U.S. national anthem? Now, 2 minutes and 20 seconds is the over-under. I there's all every year I feel like everybody tries to push you to take the under on this thing. But every year that they've set the, I think the over is one. And look, I've done no research on this, so totally winging this, and I apologize out there. But I think every national anthem has gone over at least the last 2 years. So I'm kind of riding on that, and I expect Lady Gaga to come out to do to do a smoking hot national anthem. So I'm going to take the over on the 2.5. Here's the dabbing part. How many times will Cam Newton be dabbing? How many times will it be said by the announcers during the broadcast? Over 2 or under 2? Over 2 is even money. The under 2 is actually the favorite here is a -140 at 5-7. So I'm actually going to take the even money because I on the over 2. I like that a lot. So I don't, you know. Moving along, we've got how many times will Cam Newton do the open shirt Superman during the game? Over under 2.5. I'm going to take the under on that one because I don't think he scores that many touchdowns. It's really the only time he's going to do it, unless he starts doing it on every first down just to make a point. But I don't really kind of see that happening. Which song will Coldplay play first? I hope none of them. I hope there's a power outage. I've never understood why that was a good idea. Like, Coldplay is never the first thing I think of when I, kind of think halftime Super Bowl show. But whatever. Fix You, a Sky Full of Stars, Viva La Vida, Clocks at 15 to 2, Speed of Sound at 9 to 1, Head Full of Dreams at 10 to 1. You know, as I'm reading this, it's a pretty boring prop bet, but I'll say Clocks just for the hell of it. let me try and find some other good ones here that we're going through. Will there be a lead change in the second half? Yes, +120, no, -150 being the favorite there. I'm actually going to say yes, there will definitely be a lead change in the second half, and I'm surprised that no is the favorite there, going off at 2-3. It's not. Yes, it is. So that's that. Yeah, that's kind of, I think that's happened almost every single year as well. So last one we'll do, who will record the most receiving yards in the game? Is it Demaryius Thomas, Greg Olsen, Emmanuel Sanders, Teddy Ginn, Corey Brown? Demaryius Thomas 11-4. Odds, Greg Olsen 3-1. Emmanuel Sanders 13-4. Man, I kind of like Greg Olsen for this one. I know he's probably, that's the worst odds that you can get there at 3-1, but I like that a lot. I think that they're, I don't know if Denver's going to try and take them away. I'd be, would Akeem Tlaib be on Greg Olsen? Would that thing, you would think they would try and take away their best weapon, but. I don't know. I kind of still like Greg Olsen there. Oh yeah, I got Dan chiming in saying he's going to go Sanders at 13-4, which is I tell you what, for the odds, that's actually a pretty good bet. I'd actually put him on both just for some fun. I'd put it on Olsen and Sanders to kind of take that away. We're going to keep it nice and short because we've had a lot of different things kind of bounce around here. But I got to tell you this just to let us know. It is going to be our last BGN radio show of the season on Sunday. So we're going to take a little break after the Super Bowl, try and get some things figured out, get some more money in there, obviously. I think that's really all I'm saying. But James Zeltzer and Brandon Lee Gauntner are going to be there, as it has been a completely phenomenal, awesome ride this entire season, being with you guys and really enjoying the radio experience and you guys being there. And listen, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have been on the radio at all this season. So we have to thank you so much for that. James, and again, it's 4 hours, 3 hours and 50 minutes. They're going to lead you right up into the Flyers pregame show 10 minutes beforehand. But I got to say, it's been an awesome season. We're going to have an incredible offseason as well. There's going to be some, I'll call them even marquee players. They're going to join us for the NFL draft. Ben Natan and I and a bunch of others, Matt Daring, Patrick Wall, we're all going to be heavily, heavily, heavily talking about the draft in the offseason, especially when the Super Bowl stops, because really, what else is left to kind of talk about? So here's a couple of names that I'll throw out there. Vernon Adams, everybody's favorite quarterback from Oregon, we're trying to get on and join us, plus some first-rounders. I'll just leave that out there, some first-rounders that we're trying to get a hold of, one of whom might be an offensive tackle from Indiana. So that, I think, would be very exciting. A couple other things. And just like I said at the beginning of the show, NFL Draft Party, we are ramping that up. April 28th, it'll be the first round. We're trying to find a venue right now, but I can tell you two things. It'll definitely be in Philadelphia. Sean Brice will definitely be involved. I think Crossing Broad's going to come on and join us as well. There's going to be a lot of different things going on there. There's going to be giveaways. We'll do drink specials. We'll do food specials. We'll do a whole bunch of stuff because we want to meet you. We want to meet everybody. So we, you know, hopefully everybody can make it out there, and we can have a ton of fun doing so. So final prediction again. I've got the Broncos losing to the Carolina Panthers 21-17. I think that's a good number to be there. I'll be out in the wonderful area of Pittsburgh hanging out and watching it and screaming on Twitter with the rest of you. But for myself, John Barchett, I want to thank again everybody for hanging out this offseason. This has been episode number 145 right here on BGN Radio and BleedingGreenNation.com. We will see you Sunday for the last show of the season on 97.5 The Fanatic, and we will keep you updated on what exactly is going on after that. So thanks again, guys, and we will catch you on the flip side. This has been BGN Radio right here on BleedingGreenNation.com.
Ray Ray, you're a fool.
You've been listening to BGN Radio right here on BleedingGreenNation.com. Fueled by Duncan Philly and part of the Liberty Broadcast Network.